Will you pray with me, please? Now, gracious God, let the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Here's a worthwhile question to ask of any society, any government, any religion. Is it life-affirming or not? Does it really cherish and promote the total well-being of all, or does it not? Does it seek the fullest flourishing of human life, or is it dismissive and careless, haphazard about these? Surely what we want in a religion or a society is the full cherishing and affirming of human life. So why does Jesus repeatedly sound so negating of human life? Deny yourself. Lose your life. Those who love their life will lose it. Those who hate their life in this world will save it for eternal life. We recoil. Is Jesus in love with death? With the depriving and renouncing and diminishing of human life? If you look at how he actually behaved, the answer is a resounding no. He loved human life. We read that the first thing he does is go to a wedding and turn hand-washing water into a flood of wine. He throws picnics on hillsides for thousands, goes to so many parties they call him a glutton and a drunk. He embraces the sick and disabled and heals them. He takes children into his arms, tells hilarious stories. He lavishes forgiveness and acceptance and fantastic liberations and speaks often of joy. He says, "I have come that they may have life and have it in abundance." None of that sounds like a man who is in love with death. And yet, there is this great severity about him. He told people once they should leave their families. He says that if their hands offend them, they should cut them off. Said he hadn't come to bring peace but a sword. True, Jesus was given to shock effect hyperbole. But still, and these repeated chilling words remain. Take up your cross, deny yourself, do not love your life, but lose it. Is this the same person? Yes, it is. Which means this, I think. You cannot begin to comprehend what he means by losing your life unless you join it to his great affirmations of life. And we'll never understand his reveling in human life until we let go of our own. And this theme is absolutely central to the teaching of Jesus. The four Gospels report him saying this 6 times in 4 different settings. Of all the sayings of Jesus, this is the one repeated most often in the Gospels. All these varieties, various ways of saying, hold on to your life and you'll lose it. to find it, you must let it go. For many of his followers through the years, it has meant a literal loss of life, as it did with him. His way means loving God and others so entirely that dying for it can be willingly embraced. His call to lose one's life is not entirely metaphorical. And he meant it when he said, by this kind of losing, life is found. Back in the days of the Soviet Union, where religious persecution could sometimes be deadly, an American man on a visit to Russia stayed with a family there. It happens he was a Baptist and so were they. While he was there, the young adult daughter of the family announced that she had decided to be baptized. He naturally said, "I am so happy that you have invited Jesus into your life." She said, "Oh, I did that long, long ago. I was a child when I invited Jesus into my life." And he said, "Then why have you waited so long? Why have you put off your baptism till now?" And she answered, "Because now I'm ready to die." History is filled with such brave, sacrificial commitments of faith. And we should add, it hasn't only been Christians who've made such commitments. But Jesus was speaking of more than martyrdom. To awaken to your truest life takes all manner different forms of unselfing, refusing self-privilege, dethroning the ego, letting go of money and possessions, of pride, of the fearful hoarding of the self, surrendering the stubbornness of our will, and more. And I know that maybe this whole subject raises red flags for some people, because we all know, or should know, that historically the church has often taken this theme and used it for cruel purposes. You harp on this theme of self-denial long enough and loud enough, and with admonishing tones enough, especially do it to people who already are disempowered. Tell them, deny yourself, make yourself least and last, be humble and a servant and ashamed of shortcomings and obedient to authority, and the result is people beaten down, self-despising, left with no sense of worthy personhood and vulnerable to tyranny, unable to claim their dignity or their rights. So the talk about losing ourselves has at times come down to something like abuse. But Jesus, who was the emissary of joy and bestower of resilience and courage, meant no such thing. To him, lose yourself doesn't mean shrink yourself or loathe yourself or belittle yourself. With Christ, among the many meanings of lose yourself is to lose your self-loathing. Lose your self-suppression. Otherwise, we venture nothing great, give nothing that costs, and speak out for nothing that matters. From him, lose your life, means find your life. So what does need losing for people like you and like me? A fair name for much of it is the false ego. Another name for which is sin. The untrue self that is grasping, greedy, defensive, anxious, judgmental, self-important, self-obsessed, self-pitying, self-destructive, and controlling. The false self enthrones itself and debases itself. It could be anything that it seeks to fill the void in itself. Food, drink, sex, pills, money, possessions, religion, status, achievement, other people's attention and approval, the habit of looking down on certain other people, a propped up sense of our own security, our own worth, or other illusions about ourselves. There's so much to choose from to fill the void that is the false ego. Maybe some of us think we really have to have such things to get by, to survive. And the truth is that given how fragile are the lives that we have constructed in such threatening times, maybe we kind of do need them to survive. But as Mary Gordon said, if we live for survival, what really are we living for? It is a scary thing to take a long look at our dependencies and illusions, to inspect our desires and ambitions, survey our habits and obsessions and what we spend our money on, to contemplate how concerned we are with other people's opinions of us and why, and to ponder seriously what it might mean to let all of that go. Think of that. Might it possibly mean getting really free? Might it mean finally finding your life? Truth be told, your life has probably already taught you that losing yourself is one of the happiest experiences possible. When the music you're listening to is exquisite, you lose yourself in it, and everything else is gone. If you're reading a book that's so absorbing you can't put it down, you've lost yourself. The same thing can happen when you're looking at a sunset or when you're looking at the face of someone you love with all your being. You're no longer thinking about yourself at all. You are happily, blessedly lost. We can talk all we want about what we must lose, and there is so much that most of us need to let go of. But the point is not the losing. The point is what we lose ourselves in. And what if we lose ourselves in ultimate love, infinite compassion, fantastic generosity, life-giving community, passionate purpose, the freedom to stop caring anymore about the stuff that doesn't finally matter? the power to fight the battles worth fighting, the capacity to let go of anything that stands in the way of your fullest and most beautiful flourishing in a free and faithful life under God. If any of us are in our right minds at all, we'd give up anything for these. We'd open our arms, give ourselves over and surrender to it, weeping, laughing, soaring, carried on it as if like a great ocean wave, hardly noticing that it's lifting us much taller than we'd ever thought to be when we were sitting down there in the baby pool of ourselves. Thomas Merton said it. We are invited to forget ourselves on purpose, cast our awful solemnity to the wind, and join in the general dance. I think the 13th century Sufi poet Rumi may have said it even better. Listen, O drop. Give yourself up without regret, and in exchange, gain the ocean. Listen, O drop, bestow upon yourself this honor, and in the arms of the sea be secure. Who indeed should be so fortunate, an ocean wooing a drop? In God's name. In God's name, sell and buy at once. Give a drop and take this sea filled with pearls. Did you really expect to keep your life? How much better now, while we have them, to let go and find ourselves in the immensity of God, alive, really alive at last.